And now it's time for your financial destination with Roger Hamilton, with strategies to enhance or improve your retirement income.
Hello, I'm Roger Hamilton. Welcome to the Financial Destination Show. So for the next 15 minutes, pull up a chair, have your second coffee ready. We're going to go over investment strategies to enhance or improve your current and or future retirement income. So there are a number of people in their late 60s, mid to early 70s, who are now considering downsizing by selling off maybe not their main home, not yet, but have owned a rental property or properties. They've owned them for some time, and slowly over that time, equity has built up. Rental income has been coming in for a number of years, that good real estate income, that steady flow. But now the numbers add up differently for them. Maybe it's time to cash in. With the real estate markets at an all-time high, demand is there. Plus at age 68 or 75 or whatever, the time or interest in being a rental property owner maybe is not there anymore as it was for the past couple of decades. Time to move on, cash in, build up your retirement dollars, have an income without the stress of being a landlord. Maybe you want a bit more lifestyle freedom. And once travel resumes, to see your children, your grandchildren, travel or live somewhere warmer and perhaps more affordable. And once this COVID situation is over, you can't wait to enjoy the next decade or two. Whatever time is left, enjoy it. So now that you have this rental property sale in place, you might be seeing or receiving one of the biggest checks in your lifetime. After the mortgage is paid, maybe no mortgage, but you're going to get a check for $200,000, $300,000, half a million or more. But since this is your second home, not your main one, it's a cottage, rental property, and with that, some of those proceeds are taxable. So what are some of the options that are available? So that you, as an investor, can come away and retain what you worked for, you've patiently put up with the past decade or two. So you don't see it all or a lot of it quickly disappear in taxes or poor performance. And those options will vary depending on your age, and a key in today's show will be your spouse's age, both your income brackets, your needs, goals, timeline. So everyone's situation will be a bit different, yet similar. But we're going to break it down, give you some ideas, so you can run it by or work with your financial advisor and or tax planner. Let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Does it seem that after several years, you're just getting older and your investments are not doing any better? What should you be doing? Are there simple strategies to improve your retirement income that you weren't advised on, you missed out on, and wish to change? Stay tuned. Roger will cover these topics. At any time, email your questions to Roger at yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
On the Financial Destination Show, we want you to become more educated, knowledgeable, and comfortable with your investments. Check your results over the past 5 years. Do you feel they should have done better? What would you change to improve performance over the next 5 years? Tune in every Thursday morning at 9:15 to hear more on how to improve your retirement income.
And we're back. So in today's example, we're going to have a couple. And the husband, he'll be the older of the two, will make him 75 years of age. And the wife will make her 68. So 7 years younger, just to give you an idea. Now the key number here is 71. And of all the numbers in investment planning, 19 is kind of the start. And 71 is not the end. But age 71 is a key turning point. Bottom line, in any example, if one spouse is above 71, age 72 or more, and the other is under 71, 70 or less, there are investment advantages. Now, you might have your own reasons why you married someone younger, but there are investment advantages, options for you. When there's an age difference, especially above and below that magical milestone, age 71. So let's set up this example. A couple have sold their longtime rental property for $300,000. He's 75, still working. She's 68, still working. Working because they want to, not working hard, but doing what they want, along with pensions. In this example, both are getting or earning equally $50,000 a year. Now, you can pick your own age. If one is over 71 and the other is under, maybe one has a much higher income than the other, this still works. For simplicity, this couple's earning about the same income. A few years apart in age, above and below that 71-year-old hard line mark. They sell their rental property for an even $300,000. That profit on their rental home is taxable. Capital gains. Now, before we get into too much into capital gains in Canada, this is just a general information on capital gains to give you a better understanding of how it works. Everyone's situation is unique, and this should not be taken as personal tax advice. You should always consult a tax professional to determine what's best in your own specific situation. Now, capital gains tax is about half of your personal tax bracket. So all of your income is taxable at your tax margin. Half the capital gains is taxable at your tax margin. So someone earning $50,000 a year, they're in the 36% tax bracket, so the capital gains tax would be 18%. This rental home, let's say the original cost was $200,000 years ago, sold for $300,000, $100,000 capital gains. Split that as a couple. $50,000 each at 18%, about a $9,000 tax bill each. $18,000 total comes out of the $300,000. So from that $300,000 sale, let's first deduct the real estate closing fees and the et ceteras that you might be there, the cost. And you might want to keep a few dollars on hand. So this $300,000, let's say it nets you out $264,000. And we're going to say there's no mortgage balance, zero this time. So now you have $264,000 after closing cost. If there is a mortgage balance, you might want to pay it off depending on the size of it, what the rate of that mortgage is locked in at. But that $264,000 invested should outperform the cost of borrowing on the remainder of almost any mortgage at today's rates, especially if you select the right funds. So in this example, $264,000 after real estate closing, no mortgage, now what to do? Well, there's the capital gains that needs to be paid, $18,000 or so. And if one is a higher earner than the other, you can still split the capital gains, so it should average out about the same. Again, refer to your own accountant on that. So for the remaining $264,000, which you'd like to keep because you're already down a bit from the $300,000 sale price, another $18,000 or so you have to pay to the government, you will most likely want to offset that capital gains. Age 71, above and below. The husband's age 75 can no longer contribute to an RSP for the tax deduction because of age limits. He's over 71. However, he can contribute to a spousal RSP if, in this case, his wife is 68. If he has the room, she has the age. At a 36% tax margin to offset his portion of the capital gains of $9,000, he places $32,000 into a spousal RSP. She does the same. Having the same income as her husband, the 68-year-old places $32,000 in her own RSP, provided she has the room. And most people have plenty. And that offsets her $9,000 capital gains. $64,000 invested or retained, $32,000 invested in the spousal, $32,000 in her own RSP. She's under 71. She might be 70, 68, 64. The younger the better to a degree, meaning the more years she, or whoever is the younger of the two, have before they turn 71 and have to start withdrawing, the more time for that money to grow, tax deferred in good growth funds. The January after her 71st birthday, she does have to start withdrawing that money. And it becomes taxable, not the gains. She could make 10% per year some years. That is not taxable. Only the amount she withdraws, which could be minimal, 5% per year. The more your RSP grows with better funds, the longer it will last, or the more money you can take out later. Now, yes, if you haul it all out, withdraw $32,000 right away the next year, do it once or twice, she will pay back the taxes at a higher rate than what she saved them. So you slowly take out the money per month over the years. This will defer your capital gains now, and again, depending on her or the younger of the two, give the couple time to let their investments grow, deferring taxes later, maybe when her income drops, when she finally does retire. Taxes again only on the income withdrawn, not the growth within. So now from this $264,000, we have placed $32,000 twice in RSPs, leaving $200,000. Tax-free is next. If they have the room, $151,000 goes there. Let's round it off, make it $150,000 even for easy math. $75,000 each, no age limit. It could be placed in the very same funds that her RSPs are in. Could be Fidelity Seg funds, could be good growth, life insured, just in case one of you is not around as long as you had planned. The spouse would be the beneficiary. The backup beneficiaries would be the kids or grandchildren that you haven't seen in a while due to COVID. All the money bypassing probate, you set it up all ahead of time, not after. The remaining $50,000 would be placed in a joint investment account. Could be the same funds again, life insured, that your RSPs and tax-free were placed in. Now, the $50,000 would not be tax-free or tax-deferred, but the only gains on the $50,000 would be taxable at a new starting point, making this $50,000 tax-efficient, as basically only half the gains are taxable. For growth funds, which you should invest in, are taxed as capital gains and not as income. Not on the $50,000, just the growth it makes. You could place some of this $50,000 joint in real estate funds, which you might be very familiar with if you'd own real estate. Only now you receive very tax-efficient distributions with little or no worry about being the one in charge. Now, each year you could move $12,000 from this $50,000 pile to your $150,000 tax-free pile. So within 4 to 5 years, your entire money, the $200,000 plus, is growing and you pay no tax on any growth or any income. So selecting the proper funds is key, so sit down with your advisor on that. Also, to have the exact tax numbers for your own situation, consult with your tax planner or your accountant. Just by having your money in a low interest, 0.0 bank account, a taxable cash account, may not be in your best option, especially in individual accounts, for there'd be no growth in your investments, you'd be fully taxed on the little it made, more tax, lower returns, some tax implications, and probate costs and delays if something rather very bad happened to you. How many times has a spouse desperately, with difficulty, tried to contact a bank where the deceased had investments or an account, and she could not get information, for the survivor's name was not on the account, and the person's name who was on the account isn't around any longer? It's a problem. Keeping your investments, growing them at a reasonable rate, most likely in seg funds, life insured money, it doesn't have to be, but life insured money is a big deal at almost all ages. It's a really big deal as you near or cross the 71-year transition number. Probably the most important age for all investors as to what to do and what your options are, especially to defer tax, age 71, both over or under. All right, we'll be back in a moment to wrap it up right after this.
Welcome to your Financial Destination Show, an educational investment series hosted by Roger Hamilton, featuring strategies to enhance your retirement income. During his 10 years as a financial advisor, Roger has provided sound advice on how to improve personal investments to hundreds of people, many of whom are Seaside FM listeners. To discuss how to improve your investments, email Roger at roger@yourfinancialdestination.ca. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879.
And we're back. The financial advantages. If you're over 71, but your spouse is under, you can lower your RIF withdrawals if you wish. Less tax, less withdrawals, allowing your RIF to grow using the younger spouse's age. Splitting capital gains on the sale of a property. Taxes could be deferred if your spouse is under 71, placing enough in a spousal and or individual RSPs to offset the capital gains, provided you both have the room. Placing the rest to the max on tax-free. Split the income. No age limit, no tax. So consult with your tax planner, your accountant, for your own specific tax questions. And see your financial advisor in setting up the right funds to suit your needs. We are located at 1702 Sackville Drive. Visit yourfinancialdestination.ca or call 902-499-5879. I trust you learned something today. Thank you for listening. This is Roger Hamilton. I hope you enjoyed your coffee or tea this morning. I have enjoyed your company. Until next time, stay safe and stay invested.